Bow our heads in prayer. Holy Father, grant this day your word will be preached and your presence be made known and your way followed in Jesus' name. Good morning. 1994, I retired from the active duty as a priest, and I'd served for over 30 years in a parish and celebrated the Easter Eucharist. And then for 12 years, I haven't celebrated till last Sunday. And it was really a joy for me to be with you and to celebrate the Mass. And one of the strengths of this community is that you're a very loving group and you are very open and you're non-judgmental. And so we were able to do a lot of things that just to me was a lot of fun and joy. During the service, one thing I notice is that the humor that God has. You got to have a sense of humor. And here it was. We were starting the 8 o'clock service, and the choir was singing that start there. And as they were starting to warm up, I touched my mic because I always just make sure it's on, and it was dead. It was just nothing coming through. And I pulled it out, and I gave it to Chuck Andrus, and I said, "Can you fix this thing?" And he said, "I don't know. What's wrong with it? It doesn't work." I said, "I'll go get a backup." So I got the backup, and they're about ready to start the service and come in, and Chuck, he's holding, he says, "It's working now." I mean, it was dead and it was alive. I mean, this is Easter Sunday service. That's the the humor of God, you know. You got to watch out for it sometimes. And then we had planned to have the kids come up here during the service and then go back and make their flowers and get the sign that they said he is risen. And then during the offertory, as everybody was seated down, they would become rushing in here and have their banners and the flags and all that stuff, the parade. And I talked to the ushers. I said, "Make sure they're going to come." They said, "They're coming." Well, they weren't coming. And so I sent the acolytes out there. I said, "Well, they're coming." And they didn't come. And we got through with the offertory, and so you have to do sort of audibles at the line of scrimmage. You know, you can't sit around, "What am I going to do?" So we just went on with the consecration, and nothing was happening, and got into the fracture and nothing. And then the brass started playing sort of a triumphal march, and all of a sudden, here come the kids, you know, and with the banners and the flag and all that kind of stuff. And it was God's timing. He works on Kairos, so we go on Chronos, you know, and God's timing was much better than anything we had planned to do, and it's interesting how that worked out. And during the services, the Episcopal, and I guess the Catholic Church, has what I call secret services. We have services that are so powerful, like Ash Wednesday is powerful, and Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and a lot of folks don't know how powerful they are. If they do, I think they would probably come up. But Maundy Thursday is kind of interesting because really it's two services. You've got the foot washing, and then you also have the Eucharist and the teaching on the Passover. And I generally do two meditations at that time, and we got near the end of the last meditation, and I don't think anybody gets any points by staying longer in church just to be longer in church. I think I like to have a kind of a crisp service, and so we'd been taking some good enough time, and so I said, "I think we're going to do one of our secret services," and everybody's jaw dropped, and I said, "We're going to do Rite 3." Oh, my goodness. They never heard of Rite 3. So I showed them where it was, and we prayed the prayer, and it was really good. But it was kind of a shock to some people to know that we have a secret Rite 3 service. And it's interesting. It's like the woman who got her husband to go to church for the first time in a long time. And they were leaving, the pastor shook his hand. He said, "You know," he said, you should join the church army." And he said, "Well, I am in the church army." "Well, I don't see you in church," he said. "Well," he said, "I'm in the Secret Service." But it's interesting that as we begin to listen to Jesus, to realize that Jesus is speaking in secret. He's speaking in code. And the problem is that we haven't decoded his message. And when he speaks in code, one of the things that you could help as a decoder is to be able to understand the difference between a what and a how. It's critical to do that because so many people are listening for a what and they're not listening to the how. And here's the point. See, if you don't know that there is a what and a how, then you think the what is a how, and you think that the how is the what. So obviously you don't know what the what is because you think it's a how, and you don't know what the how is because you think it's a what. And I'm not kidding on this. This is serious because, like in the scripture today, when Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. In other words, he'd gone to the door, he showed him his hands, he showed him his side, and now he's teaching them. As the Father. The word as, see, that could be a how or it could be a what. And if we think it's a how, it'll change the way we do things as if we realize it is a what. Because, you see, when Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you, if it is a what, then we're trying to figure out what we have to do, the what would Jesus do, WJD mentality. And so we're trying to work on what to do. And, of course, the Scripture says, Jesus said, you can do these things and greater than these. So we're looking to do greater things than Jesus did. Now, the problem is, you can't do greater things than Jesus did. You ever figure that one out? I mean, how many folks here have changed water into wine or walked on water or fed 5,000 people with a couple fish or loaves? How many people here have raised the dead? We can't do what Jesus did. And you say, well, the Bible says so. Well, the Bible might, but maybe Jesus didn't. You see, because the Greek translation is greater, but it also is more. And we can do more than Jesus did because he was limited by time and space. He could just do something at a moment, whereas the body of Christ throughout the world, we can do much more any moment than he could possibly have done while he was on this earth. And so we're not called to do greater, we're called to do more because it's not a what, it's a how. And if you listen closely and you ask, how did Jesus go, because he's sending us as he was sent by God, when he was 30 years old, he got baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit sent him and drove him literally in the wilderness for 40 days. And when it came out, the scripture says he came out filled with the Holy Spirit. This is how Jesus sends us to do ministry, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not a what, it is a how. And just to show that is, the next scripture says what? He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. He's talking about a how to do it, not a what to do, because we should never do anything unless we are in the Spirit of God. And so it's a difference between the legalistic idea that you have to do to be, follow the law so you can get in God's presence, where the how is get in God's presence to fulfill the law. And then Jesus talks about forgiveness. Now, it's my experience that the average person, Christian and non-Christian, really doesn't understand forgiveness because they think forgiveness is a what and not a how. And so Jesus tells us how to forgive, and then he tells us how not to forgive. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you release, they are released. Unto them, whosoever sins you retain, that's how not to do it, retain sins, you will then retain the sins. And so there needs to be some kind of exegesis on that passage because people don't fully understand it. He says, whosoever sins, or if anyone sins and you forgive their sins, they are forgiven unto them. Now, the they sounds like we're saying, if you forgive someone, those people are forgiven. But look closely, it says, whosoever sins or anyone sins. Anyone is an adjective modifying sins. And so what he's saying is, anyone sins you forgive, those sins are forgiven unto them. In other words, they're out to them. And anyone sins you retain, then they are retained to you. And that's not the way to forgive. You can't forgive as you retain those sins. Now, the word sin in Greek, it means offense. And when people have been offensive to us and making us angry and bitter and unforgiving, we got to release those if we keep them, we will become like that. That's why the word forgiveness is really a bad word, because people have got such crazy ideas about forgiveness. The Greek word there is to release. And if you understand what that means is, whosoever releases anyone's sins, they are released from us. And so we need to learn how to release sins. But if we're thinking about a what rather than a how in forgiveness, which so many times we do and we can hear it on TV and radio. How could you possibly forgive what they did? It's what Peter was doing. See, Peter was thinking, as many people think, that if you forgive, you will be forgiving. You see that? In other words, if you do it, you will be it. And Jesus says you got to be it to do it. And so the idea that if we forgive people, we will become forgiving, what he said to Jesus was, how often should I forgive my brother? Now, the law said you had to forgive him 7 times. And so Peter says, how about 7 times 7? In other words, if I forgive a person 449 times more than this person just doing 7, I must be more forgiving than they are. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. In other words, here's just the point. If you can think of someone, and I think most of us probably could, of someone that we simply cannot forgive, then we don't know what forgiveness is. Because, you see, forgiveness is not for their sake, it is for our sake. We forgive for our sake. Whosoever sins you retain, those sins are retained. If we got anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and we're not willing to let it go, then that's what we will become. And so we have to understand, we've been talking about this. The reason we have anger, fear, bitterness, unforgiveness, regret, resentment towards people is because thought creates feeling, not events. Those people are not creating those feelings in us. Our way we're thinking is creating those feelings. And if we want to loose them and release them, we're going to have to change our way of thinking. And when we're thinking out of God's presence, we are thinking entirely different, feeling insecure, as when we're thinking in God's presence. And so what we need to do is, if we want to forgive someone, we got to get into the forgiveness of God so that we can share that with them. It's almost impossible to forgive someone when we're feeling unforgiving. And so it's the thought that's creating those feelings and getting in God's presence what we need to do. And see, here's the problem. If we think that forgiveness is a what, then we're going to mix up responsibility and forgiveness. And there's no closure. I'll never forgive that person until this happens or until that happens. But when we're in God's forgiveness, we realize that we can be forgiving and still hold a person responsible. It's called tough love. And so what we need to do, you see, is to realize that there is a lie and a truth. And Satan is a liar, and so in one sense, he's always giving us this lie, and sometimes we believe it. But the lie is, if you will forgive, you will be forgiving. And that's just not true. Because when we're not forgiving, we're not going to be able to forgive. The truth is, we need to be forgiving in order to forgive. And we get forgiving by getting into God's forgiveness. And I'd like to tell just a little story to you, because sometimes when you get a teaching like this, you can't remember it. It's hard to, but you can remember a story. So this might be helpful to you. It's one of my favorite stories about an older woman who went through a very difficult situation, and she forgave the person. And she was very loving. And another person who had a similar situation, she said, how in the world could you be so forgiving? Every time I think about that event, Satan tempts me, and I go back into being unforgiveness. And the old lady said, well, she said, whenever Satan knocks on my door, I always say, Jesus, will you answer it? Jesus, will you answer it? Amen? Bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, grant that during this Easter season we might see thee more clearly and love thee more dearly and follow thee more nearly, in Jesus' name.